Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our Old Testament lesson, Book of Genesis, chapter 50, beginning at the 15th verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, You said the words of Psalm 103. You said, "The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins. The Lord does not repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." Now, those are words written by a child of God, could only be written by a child of God, and they're words that express amazement that the Lord does not pay me back for my sins. If you're not a child of God, you won't have that amazement. If you're not a child of God, you may not even think on those terms, but a child of God will. The Lord doesn't pay me back. The Lord removes my transgressions on the cross of my Savior, Jesus. That's amazing. Well, there is an old saying, time heals what? All wounds. Time heals all wounds. Does it? I don't know. Maybe it does. But if it does, the wounds don't seem to heal very well in the Middle East, where today's Old Testament lesson takes place. Back then, the Lord had to make a special provision for his people. When they entered into the promised land, he designated a number of places as cities of refuge, places in the promised land where you could flee and find asylum if you killed somebody. Now, I don't mean murdered somebody, killed them with malice aforethought, but no, an accident happened. You were backing up the wagon and you ran over a kid. It could happen. You were swinging with your axe, trying to cut down a tree, the head flew off, hit somebody else in the head, and they died. There was no malice aforehand, no malice aforethought with that, but in that culture, the family of the deceased, the clan of the deceased, wouldn't care. Didn't matter that it was accidental. Didn't matter that it was not intentional. It doesn't matter that it just happened. What mattered was they would avenge the death. Blood calls out for blood. And so there were set up cities of asylum, cities of refuge, where you could go and be safe. But there was more to it than that. The Lord had to say again in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, he said, and you know the verse, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And so it was in the Old Testament. And so it was at the end of the Middle Ages, in Martin Luther's time, in Europe, Martin Luther, the fellow our church is named after, in Europe, same issues. This is what he said. He said, "Many of the people among whom we must live do us harm, so that we are given cause for being at enmity with them. Now your neighbor sees that you have received from God a better house, or more property, or more riches, or more good fortune than he, and so he becomes irritated and envious and has nothing good to say about you. And thus you acquire many enemies through the prompting of the devil. They begrudge you even the slightest physical or spiritual good. And when you notice this attitude in them, your heart wants to retaliate with rage and with bloodshed and with revenge, and then follow curses and blows and finally catastrophe and murder. Because the desire for revenge clings to our nature. Can't seem to get it off. Can't seem to wash it off. It is commonly accepted that no one will stand for being injured by anybody else. Therefore, the Lord keeps these commandments before our eyes at all times so that we can see ourselves mirrored in them. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And the mirror answers back, not you, not you. It was true in the Old Testament. It was true in medieval Europe. It was true in the Roman Empire. Romans chapter 12, the mirror gets held up again. It says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Give place to the wrath of God. Step out of line. Let the Lord cut in. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. I will repay. Again, the mirror gets held up in front of your face. Hebrews chapter 10. We know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, it would seem from those words that there is a difference between falling into the hands of God and being in the hands of God. Falling into the hands of God, that's a fearful thing. And in today's lesson, when it talks about revenge, it's a fearful thing. Why? Why do you fall into the hands of God? Because you've taken something. You've stolen something that belongs to the Lord. How does it go? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Not yours. It's my property. It's my right. It's my possession. And so you have the seventh commandment. You shall not steal. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God because revenge also is taking the place of God. Joseph in Genesis 20 that we just read, he knew that. Now Joseph was the ruler of the most powerful nation on earth at the time. His word was law. And what does he say when his brothers come to him? He says, am I in the place of God? If anybody was, it would have been Joseph. And yet Joseph says, am I in the place of God? He recognized that to talk that way would be to have such pride and arrogance as Satan had at the very beginning, who tried to usurp the Lord and was cast into hell. And so you have another commandment of God. You shall have, first commandment, no other gods, including yourself. You fall into the hands of God, which is a fearful thing, because revenge is saying that you do not forgive. Now, later on in the service, you're going to say some pretty words. They go like this: forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. But if you take revenge, those are just pretty words. And again, another commandment of God, second commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in prayer in vain. You fall into the hands of God, which is a fearful thing, because revenge is saying that you are wiser than the Lord. Again, going back to the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? Who remembers their old catechism? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, which includes you, which includes me. But you take revenge and you say, well, I know the time. I know the way. I know how it should happen. I know if it should happen. I'll take care of the payback. And that's dangerous. I'll take care of it. I'll handle it. Lord, you step aside. You give place. You let me cut in line. It's a dangerous thing because, honestly, you're going to make a mess of it. because sometimes, as much as it looks the opposite, what is needed is not payback, but what is needed is the Lord's pardon. And how do you know that? You look in the mirror. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And the mirror says, not you. But then you hear the words of the book of Psalms, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget his benefits. He forgives all your iniquity. That's amazing. He does not deal with us according to our sins. He doesn't pay us back according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Do not forget his benefits. And they're summed up beautifully, if I can quote again from our little catechism that we have in our church, and this is what it says. It says, where there's forgiveness of sins, and you know there's forgiveness of sins because you see a cross every time you come into church, where there's forgiveness of sins, there's life and salvation. And so the scripture says, a lot of places, but 1 Corinthians chapter 1, all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. That is why it's through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. What it says is, no matter how things look at the moment, the Lord is for you, the Lord is with you, you are a child of God, the Lord is saying yes to you, and if he's saying yes to you in faith, you can say amen. You can say, you know what? I don't care what's happening. I'm in the hands of God. Not tossed into the hands of God, but I'm in his good and gracious hands for mercy and love. Now, the people of this world look for grace and love in various places. They want to see how things are shaping up for their lives, and so what do they look at? Well, you look at the weather, you look at the politics, you look at the economy, you look at the outcome of the war, you look at how things are going in Washington, and a Christian says, you know what, that's all nice, but I'm going to look someplace else. I am going to look at the cross of my Savior Jesus. I'm going to look at my baptism. I'm going to look at the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion, and if I take those all together, I'm going to end up at the book of Romans, chapter 8. And we know. It doesn't say we guess, we hope, we think. It says we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And if you have that verse down, then you can sing the hymn like we did at the beginning of church, which it says, the Lord has judgments for the proud, but he has justice for the oppressed. And so, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's the last place you want to be, but there's no better place to be than in the hands of your gracious God. And so Joseph, in the Old Testament lesson for today, who is Joseph? He's gifted, he's talented, he's smart, he's hardworking, he's dedicated, he's led by the Lord, led by the Holy Spirit. He runs the most powerful nation on earth. And yet when his brothers came to him and they're fearful for what they did to him in the past, he says what? He says, am I in the place of God? And you look at him sitting on his throne, and it sure looks like it. But he says, no, am I in the place of God? I am not qualified for that position. And I am a sinful man to boot. If there needs to be revenge, the Lord will do what needs to be done. If there needs to be pardon, the Lord will do what needs to be done. And if it was true for Joseph, it's true for you. It's true for me. Am I in the place of God? No. Last time I checked, God is in the place of God. And I think we'll just leave it right there. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.